I'm Dan Coleman, and I'm the spokesperson for the Georgia Division of Extension Confederate Veterans. On behalf of the Georgia Division, I'd like to welcome everyone here today. We really appreciate you coming. This is a proper occasion for people to sacrifice their time. And I know a lot of people took the day off from very long distances to be here, but there's no greater cause than to honor what I consider one of the greatest men in the history of this country, Robert E. Lee. Or of the world. Many of us have been here, and most, a lot of people here are pretty close to my age, believe it or not. There is a group here today that I want to acknowledge and give a little special recognition to. These are people of our future. If Southern history and our heritage is going to be preserved, it will be by the young men. Today, as part of the Honor Guard, we have members of Lee's Cadet, and we really appreciate them coming up, and I'd like a special round of applause for them.
Gentlemen mentioned to me just a few minutes ago, some of you may have been approached to act in a movie that's coming up is Long Live the Dead. Have you read the script? I would encourage you not to be in that movie. It portrays the South and Southern Confederacy in very poor light. So let's not do that. I was asking you. I'm going to now.
Tim's wife this morning has surgery for melanoma and skin cancer, but it's very important, and he, of course, he needs to spend the time with his wife, so everybody please remember Tim Beard. He's a real friend of ours. And then also, we have a very good friend in the legislature, man I've come to know for a long time and have great respect for, and I'm going to ask him if he would come up and say a few words to us today also. Alan Powell. Somebody's going to forget who we are. Alan Powell. Alan Powell. Alan Powell has been a friend of ours. He's not a Johnny come lately. He's been with us for quite a few years. But anyway, all of you welcome, Alan, and we appreciate you coming.
Special day that's deep in the hearts of all of you, and for all of those who remember their Southern heritage and their ancestry. But what a very special day. It's good to see y'all here in your capital today. Some of the comments that Tommy said are exactly true, and you know, some of those straightforward comments that were uttered 150 years ago continue to remain true today. Political correctness, ladies and gentlemen. Where are we at in this state and in this nation today? Let me tell you, it's a changing day. It's up to y'all as the last bastion of the descendants of those people who served for what they believed in. And they came out to stand up and let your neighbors and let these newcomers that are coming into this state, let them know from what this soil in this state and across this southern part of the nation all about. Independence, common sense, those people who were willing to stand up for what they believed in. History has been reinterpreted over the years. This day of political correctness that we have lived in, and it didn't just start in the last couple of years, but it has been going on for a long period of time. But it's even moved further than just historical persons. Political correctness today in this nation and in this state and in this southern hemisphere that we're living in, this era of political correctness is poisoning the system that we know and love. From the halls of the Capitol in Washington, D.C., to the halls of state government, political correctness is the word. Power corrupts, absolute power corrupts, absolutely. Dialogue and debate is a thing of the past. Political correctness, political spin, all of these are things that are transpiring around you today. Very few people do I see that will stand up and say what they mean. In politics, and I've lived an awful long time, I have seen the transition. I remember statements that I was privileged to hear Tom Murphy say while he was still an elected official and ran the House of Representatives. But I remember a lot of the things that the old man used to say that they bore out to be the truth. I remember him telling me that once upon a time that the House of Representatives was basically nothing more than a tool of the sitting government. And you know, in 1965 that changed. We had three branches of government at that point, something that I am very concerned about. Political correctness, the very same thing that has happened to each and every one of y'all that are members of SCV. It has contaminated our own organization. And we have members now that bow their head and they don't come to the events, or they're ashamed to speak their piece. This is that disease that I'm talking about that's corroding everything around us. We have politicians that if they can raise all the money in the world, then they can buy the TV time, they can buy the spin, they can buy the high-priced PR that goes out. But ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you right now that it's not just you people here at the SCV members, and it's not just all about Southern heritage at home. It's about our system of government. It's about standing up and being heard. When you hear people say something, and you say, well, gosh, I wish that we had. But you know what? When you hear an elected official say, I wish, you say, well, why haven't you done something about it?
That's right.
But you know, he's got his priorities in place. Family comes first. Family and your God comes before all other else. But he also told me today to keep the faith and remind you that if you hear the pandering across this state from the elected officials about SB 15, and they say, yeah, I'd have voted for that bill if it had ever come up. Well, you know what? If they're elected, then they need to put their name on that. They need to sign that bill as a show of support and help them move it forward if you ever want a real vote on the flag. But is a real vote on the flag something that's preeminent in my mind today? No. I'm more concerned about the future of this state. I'm more concerned about the system that we all love and cherish, and that is an openness in government, the legislative system, of people being elected to stand up and represent their constituents. Some of y'all heard my take years ago that when I was first elected to the General Assembly, I was assigned a seat next to a member of the minority caucus. And when I say minority, I mean black caucus. And a lot of things I couldn't understand from their position, but then I began to understand why they voted a certain way because of their constituencies. And I came to respect that every member, every elected member of the General Assembly has got to represent their constituents. All politics is local. And I formed that basis at that time of how my service would be. That I was going to try to be fair, but I was going to try to remember and never forget. Never forget how the constituency of Northeast Georgia, how they felt on issues, and how they would like for me to vote on issues. And I've never... Hopefully, I have never lost sight of that. These are the things that as y'all spread back out to your homes across this great state, you need to pick up that phone, you need to call your legislator, and point blank ask them what is their feelings about SB 15 or about a number of other bills. And then you need to ask, do you feel strong enough? Why don't you go put your name on it? Why don't you send your letter to the speaker or whoever and say, let us have a say. Let us have an open debate on this issue. Is it too contentious? Yeah, it's contentious. It's a hotbed of issues because of political correctness, ladies and gentlemen.
Al Keller.
No, thank you. I've seen too many people that were good thinking people whenever they inherited that second floor office. But I have said that apparently there's an infectious virus in the second floor office. That every good person I know that gets in there, they lose their damn mind.
we do have some people, including Alan Powell, who's not afraid to say what he means, and that he means what he says. Let's give him another.
Took 30,000 men and whipped northern generals with 80,000 men, it is almost remarkable. Here was a southern commander with his troops that were many times outnumbered, outgunned, and certainly many times even outmaneuvered, and yet he was still able, with his generalship and with his soldiering, to outflank and win battle after battle. Here was a man who was a remarkable soldier. He was not just simply an engineer, he was that. He was not simply a Christian husband and father, he was that. But he was indeed a remarkable soldier. I think of the Battle of Chancellorsville, how he and Stonewall Jackson outflanked the enemy and brought Joe Hooker to great shame, because Hooker had just gotten out of his mouth, his plans were perfect, that may God have mercy on General Lee, for he would have none. And then General Lee and Stonewall Jackson pulled off that stunning victory. And certainly, God was given the honor and the glory of that. But Robert E. Lee stands out as a soldier. But Robert E. Lee also stands out, I believe, as a statesman as well. Now, certainly Robert E. Lee was not a politician, as far as you and I would say. But he certainly would never draw his sword against his state. And he understood the principles for which he was fighting, and Southern generals and Southern soldiers as well. Let me just give you a quote that General Lee said. Listen carefully. He said, "History is not the relating of campaigns and battles and generals and other individuals, but that which shows principles. The principles for which the South contended were government by the people, that is, government by the consent of the governed, government limited and local, free of consolidated power. Those principles justified the South struggle." Let me repeat what he was saying. He was saying, when you study history, don't just look at the generals, don't just look at the campaigns, but you look at the principles. And the principles for which the South fought first and foremost was independence. Just like one of the speakers had said earlier, it was indeed a war of northern aggression. You've got to remember, the South did not invade the North invaded the South.
Right.
And so we have the right then to defend ourselves, our hearts, and our homes, and fighting for liberty and freedom. And here he is saying, listen, here is the principles. The principles was government by the consent of the governed. That was a constitutional issue. May I point out also, government limited and local. Certainly Robert E. Lee did not fight for a centralized bureaucracy as we have today, whether it was in a state or whether it was in a federal government. General Robert E. Lee understood the principles of limited government and local government and the right of the people to give their consent in what they did and what they did not do as far as politics was concerned. So Robert E. Lee was not just simply a soldier, he was a statesman as well. But may I point out that Robert E. Lee was also a scholar. Everyone knows that Robert E. Lee was the president of Washington University, later on Washington and Lee University. Here was a man who was concerned with the education of young men particularly. You talk about these young men that we have up here. Let me tell you something, folks. We live in a day where more people would rather watch TV than read. We live in a day when more people would rather be amused and entertained rather than taught. And by the way, I hope you know that the word muse, M-U-S-E, muse, means to think. When you have amusement, it means that you are not thinking. That's why you have amusement parks, and that is why TVs are called amusement, because you don't have to think. Everybody else is thinking for you. But we need men and young ladies who can think their way out of the wet paper bags and think their way out of political correctness and say, here is what history is all about. Here is what truth is about. Here is what liberty and freedom is about. And we need to teach these young people exactly the way Robert E. Lee was planning and doing and teaching at Washington Lee University. May I point out the fact that Lee was not only a soldier, he was not only a statesman, he was not only a scholar, and I'm using this in the strictest biblical term, he was a saint. That is, he was a man who believed in Jesus Christ. He told Pastor Lacey, I can only say that I'm a poor sinner trusting in Jesus Christ. Over and over, Robert E. Lee did everything he could to spread Christianity and the principles of the Word of God. He and Stonewall Jackson and many others not only led in prayer meetings, but openly promoted them in the camp. And most of you know, there were two great sweeping revivals in the Confederate armies. Here was a man who tried to put Jesus Christ first and foremost. Here was a man who was free of bitterness and resentment. One occasion, one of his officers saw a sea of blue coats out front. And the officer, kind of exasperated, said, I wish all those men were dead. General Lee said, why, sir, how can you say such a thing? Why, he said, General, don't you wish they were all dead? He said, of course not. I wish they were home tending their business, leaving us to do the same. Here was the man. Biblical Christianity. Here was a man who understood being free from bitterness and resentment. I want to just give you, I think, one of the greatest stories I've ever heard about General Lee. And it comes from a wounded northern soldier who was on the battlefield at Gettysburg. Here was his own testimony. I'm quoting it. He said, I've been a most bitter anti-South man and fought and cursed the Confederates desperately. I could see nothing good in any of them. The last day of the fight, I was badly wounded. A ball shattered my left leg. I lay on the ground not far from Cemetery Ridge, and as General Lee ordered his retreat, he and his officers rode near me. As they came along, I recognized him, and though faint from exposure and loss of blood, I raised my hands and looked Lee in the face and shouted as loudly as I could, Hoorah for the Union! Hoorah for the Union! The general heard me, looked, stopped his horse, and dismounted and came toward me. I confess at first I thought he meant to kill me. But he came up and he looked down at me with such a sad expression upon his face that all fear left me. And I wondered what he was about. He extended his hand to me, grasping mine firmly, and looking right into my eyes, and said, "My son, I hope you will soon be well." He said, "If I live 1,000 years, I shall never forget the expression on General Lee's face. There he was, defeated, retiring from the field that had cost him and his cause almost their last hope. And yet he stopped to say words like these to a wounded soldier of the opposition who had taunted him as he passed by. As soon as the general left me, I cried myself to sleep there on the bloody ground." Here was a man who could take taunting and take people cursing him and yet still offer kindness and compassion. You talk about a man who stands out above all others. In fact, it was Pastor J. William Jones who said that Robert E. Lee was not just the model man. He was indeed the model Christian. May I point out, he was not just simply a soldier and a statesman and a scholar. He was indeed a godly Christian man, and he was concerned with spreading the truth. Let me point out something. I want to emphasize this and lay it very deeply in your minds. We can stand here and sit here all day long and talk about our heritage and our history, and certainly we should be thankful that we have that heritage and have that history. You just heard one man speak about political correctness. Let me tell you, we will never get our culture back, and we will never get our history and our heritage back until we go back to the foundations upon which General Lee and General Jackson and those men stood, and that foundation is the Word of God.
That's right. Yeah.
On the second floor without being infected with a virus. I can tell you, have a heart and have a mind that has been regenerated by the grace of God and filled with the principles of truth. You see, folks, if principles do not govern our lives, then circumstances and feelings will. And that which made General Lee stand out above any of the other is his life was regulated by principle. He was a man of courage. He was a man of character. He was a man of faith. And he stood for what he knew was absolutely right. And he understood this principle that if you don't stand for something, you will fall for anything. And so he stood for that which was right and holy and grace and thankful unto God. That's what I stood for. I'm happy. I'm thankful to honor someone who is worthy of honor. One newspaper man said this: "I searched for Lee's greatness." He said, "In all my research, I've never found anyone that I could not find some fault with. But," he says, "I searched for Lee's faults, I found none." He said, I cannot say that about anyone else. But he said, "When I discovered his greatness, it was because he stood on the principles of the Word of God." Douglas Southall Freeman, Lee's biographer, said this: "If you were to epitomize Robert E. Lee's life in one sentence, it would be this one, taken from the book that he read so often: if any man will follow me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily." That, my friends, is General Robert E. Lee, the world's greatest soldier, model man, and model Christian. What a joy to honor honorable men. May God bless you, and may God save you. After that, I think it's just appropriate if we might have a little
Southern music. So let me ask Hugh Marston. He's not aware of this, but I'd like to ask him if he'd come up and give us a string of Dixie. And maybe after he finishes the first course of that, we can all join in and let the people in this capital know that South's still alive and everybody's with him.
Man, he don't know it.
Play a verse for Dixie for us.
Thank you.